Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk about the latest Xbox news, rumors, and games we're playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show, questions@multiformpodcast.com. And this is episode 221. I'm Tim Shelton, and I'm joined this week by Spencer Rain.
Yeah, let's go! Episode 221, baby! Woo!
Okay, that's going to blow everyone's earbuds. And Gus Harden.
Hello.
And I don't know what I was going to say there. Anyway, let's just get into it this week. So, games we've been playing. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Gus and I have become addicted to Marvel Snap. And Spencer is going to roll his eyes for the next 10 minutes. No, we're not going to talk about it for 10 minutes. I feel like I was pretty high on the Gwent standalone single player game that came out. And I was pretty high on what's the other mobile game that I said was decent in the last year? Because in general, I don't like mobile phone games. But Marvel Snap's great. Every match lasts 3 to 5 minutes, so they're short and quick. The strategy is deep, but it's got a slow learning curve where it doesn't introduce anything complex. And most importantly, the monetization is almost non-existent. Like, you can completely ignore it, play the entire game without being forced to microtransact. But if you want cool stuff, like the current season is Venom-themed cosmetics, if you want like alternate covers for your cards or different hero profile pictures or deck backs, that's all cosmetic stuff that you can do with microtransactions and season passes. But the entire game as a mobile game, none of that like cooldown timers. Nope. None of that. Just nothing. Just respects your time. Super easy to play. Very quick matches. Love it. I've been playing it nonstop. Gus, I think you picked it up a couple days ago. And I know you and I have been talking about it a lot. I don't want to talk about it too much because we're an Xbox show, but anything you want to talk about?
Well, I've never played a card game before, like a mobile card game, like Hearthstone or Gwent or anything like that, other than what I've seen other people play. So I don't know. I had it, and I remember I texted you about it. I was like, I was at work, and I was like, "This." You texted that you were playing it, and I was like, "It's on my phone. I installed it because I was like, why not?" And then I just sat there for 2 days, probably longer, honestly. And then you kept talking about it. I was like, "All right." I was working, and I was like, "Screw it, I'll check it out."
Yeah, when they add PvP, which they said they're going to add soon, where you can play against your friends, you and I are going to go toe-to-toe. You better get ready.
I also actually just got an Xbox notification on my laptop that said I can pre-install Football Manager 2023, and that's on the list of things I won't be doing this evening.
Yeah, spoilers. We're going to cover that later in the show.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, I am very much enjoying it. So my road so far has been that I did not create an account or anything. I didn't sign in with my Google account or anything when I started it. And then last night, so that would have been Saturday night as we record, it was like 10 p.m. and I could not do anything with the game. Like, I couldn't, I thought maybe it was an internet issue, so I put it down. And then I woke up in the morning and I was like, I'll check to see if it's working now. And it still wasn't working, so I was like, screw it. So I deleted the game off my phone and I reinstalled it, and I didn't realize that it just wouldn't save my stuff because I didn't make an account. So I've had to restart today. And I'm still like 10 levels away from where I was beforehand. And so now I'm just kind of replaying to get back up to that. Tim, you have a lot more time in it than I do, but,
yeah that's partially because I played the beta.
Well, yeah, that too.
But honestly, I put it down after getting really addicted in the beta because I was worried. I was like, oh, they must have softened the monetization for the beta. When this comes out with the final version, it's going to be like microtransaction city and cooldown timers and all this
right
stuff
in your face.
And when I started seeing the reviews pop up that wasn't the case, I was like, oh wow, so maybe what I played is the experience of the final game. And then once I jump back in, of course, now I'm addicted.
Yeah, I guess my biggest thing is, so it's like, I like the simplicity of it, and I like that I can just kind of play it and I really don't give a crap about how well I'm doing. It's just like a thing that I can, I like the way it looks. I like the aesthetics of it. I think I like the little like minimalistic animations that each card has. I think it's kind of cool that like adds to the character of the card. Like Iron Man, when you like are like moving his card around. It looks like he has boosters underneath his card, and you set him down, and he lands, which is kind of cool. It's all just like really like minimal stuff that's kind of cool, but
it's a little touches.
It's like it's just little stuff that I think makes it look a lot better and looks cooler.
The thing I like that it has that the Gwent standalone what Rogue Mage didn't have is that this game is portrait. Rogue Mage is landscape, so you have to turn your phone sideways, and it's not easy to like play with one hand or just play like when you're using your phone normally, versus this game you can just play vertically. But we don't need to dig into it anymore since it's we mostly cover Xbox on the show, but I have been playing a ton of that. And even when I could be playing my Xbox to some extent, I sat in my office chair where I normally game on my Xbox in front of my TV, and I played Snap on my phone. So, but one of the other games I've been playing this week is Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. And Gus, I know you've been playing this as well. Spencer, I don't think you've gotten to it yet. But this week I mostly played multiplayer. I think, Gus, you and I played together one night, and I played with my other friends at least one or two nights, and then I think I played by myself one night. And I've played a kind of hodgepodge of modes. The only thing that I really want to add this week from last week is that there's this sense going around the community that all the weapon attachments just make the guns worse. And after watching and reading some articles and watching YouTube videos of people that have kind of broken it down, it really does seem like besides putting a sight on your gun, in general, you're making your gun worse because the trade-offs are worse than the positives for any of the attachments, like grips, muzzles, anything. The only, I guess, one you can make a case for is magazine if you're willing to make a case for more rounds for a loss of aim down sight or whatever. So that feels weird. That and the UI of the game is terrible. I think I might have talked about that already on last week's show, but the menus and stuff are just kind of atrocious. I mean, I've seen worse, but they're not great. It's very confusing, and it's a departure from previous Call of Duty games. And it's not just like straightforward and intuitive. Like, I feel like games, Call of Duty's were like, I don't know, 7 years ago. So, Gus, anything to add about from your time with Call of Duty Modern Warfare? We don't really need to go too deep because I know we did last week.
I agree that it was kind of like one of those things where when you had, like I said, you had the attachments on the gun. I remember like adding an attachment, and it like made my gun like awful to the point where I couldn't use it. So I was like, well, I'm not using this anymore. And so I kind of just like, I like took all my attachments off except for like the sight. And then it like wasn't updating in the game. I don't know. It's still like slightly buggy, which I mean, isn't like a game breaker for me, but the main issue with it being a game breaker is that just me just being bad and that I'm just not good at shooters like I used to be. So it's just going to take a little while for me to get back into it. I'm going to play more this week. I didn't have a whole lot of time to do anything this weekend except for play Marvel Snap, cause I was just never at home. But yeah, so that'll be the thing that I'm probably going to end up doing more this week.
So the other game that I played, and this will be the last one I'm going to talk about, and then I'll hand it to Spencer if you play anything this week, or Gus to close this out. But I've been playing a ton of Gotham Knights. I have two things to say about it since the last time I played it. My opinion has not really changed. The things that annoy me still annoy me. The things I liked, I still like. But I unlocked fast travel, which is you have to meet Lucius Fox, and he gives you basically a jetpack, backpack, fighter jet thing you wear on your back. And you can land on select rooftops. Now, there's only like 8 in the map, so you can only basically land 8 or so places. But that at least lets you get around without having to be forced to use the motorcycle to get everywhere, which I hate that thing, so I'd rather fast travel. The second thing is Knighthood is this quest line that unlocks certain things, and I think it's only one stage of it. But it's one of the only things in the game that you don't level all 4 characters at the same time. So like generally, if you level up on one of the knights, you level up on the other 3 and you get your experience points and all that all across all 4 of them evenly. But Knighthood is separate, and you have to complete the Knighthood quest line which is basically just the first step of it. I don't know if there's a second step to unlock your movement ability, which for Batgirl is glide. For Red Hood, it's the soul jump thing. For Nightwing, it's the Fortnite glider looking thing. And I honestly don't know what it is for Robin. I haven't unlocked his yet. I'm actually working on his. But what's annoying is since it's separate for each character, one of the things you have to do is you have to get either 10 or 12 premeditated crimes completed with that character, which is kind of grindy because you have to kill thugs that drop like intel, and that unlocks premeditated crimes on the map. And then you go and stop those crimes. So you have to do 12 of those for each character, 12 for each of the four. So that's like, I think it's 12, might've been 10, but it's 40, 46, somewhere in there, premeditated crimes just to unlock your movement ability to make it less annoying with only having grappling hook for getting around. So just kind of grindy, the game. I'm still like enjoying this the story, and I just went through some of the first Court of Owls stuff, and so all, but there was this really annoying thing in the Court of Owls. I'm not going to talk about it because it's a spoiler, but there was one of the most annoying things I've reached yet in the game was during the first Court of Owls mission. So, okay. I'll spoil it. It's a very minor spoiler. You're escaping the Court of Owls location. That's very vague. That doesn't give anything away. And, you are, I'll just be super vague. You basically are running through a trap dungeon of fire and spinning blades, except for it's basically like a obstacle course, like from the Gladiator TV show, or what's that show where they run down the thing and try and get down as fast as they can? American Gladiator. I don't know. Anyway, and it's just spinning blades and fire. And if anything touches you, you die. But it's all like rotating and spinning, so everything touches you constantly unless you get it exactly right. And the animations are like hilariously bad. Like the blade will touch you and you'll die and you'll fall to your knees and die, but you don't get hit by the blades and cut. You don't, it's just like it touches you and game over. It looks so like cobbled together, and it was very frustrating also. So but it led, once you finally got through it, it led to one of the coolest like story beats so far in the game, which is yeah, so such a mixed bag. Not great. I'm still at like a 5 out of 10, and you can listen to last week's where the guys were like, Tim, the way you're describing it, it's less than a 5 out of 10. But I don't think this can be fixed with patches. So my recommendation is don't pay more than $20 for Gotham Knights unless you're like the biggest fan in the world, which even I, as a big DC fan, am still pretty let down. So with that, Spencer, American Ninja Warrior. Thank you, Gus, or Spencer just dropped that in our chat. So, Spencer, I know you've been busy, but what did you get up to this week?
Yeah, everything you say about Gotham Knights makes it sound less and less appealing. Like, literally, each time you open your mouth and Gotham Knights comes out of it, it's like, man, that sounds even worse than the last time you talked about it 5 minutes ago. So,
I have a really hard time saying anything positive about it. Like, honestly, which is, I mean, yeah.
It sucks.
It's bad.
Well,
it's funny bad, though. That's the thing.
I guess there's worse things. It could just be bad, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know. So I played a little bit more Plague Tale. I'm only on chapter 5, so I think I have 2 chapters further than I was last week. So not much to say there. Still good, just don't always play it. Especially with, you know, the 10th anniversary of Forza stuff. I've been playing a little bit of that this week, obviously, just to kind of check those boxes. And Mass Effect 3 on the Legendary Edition. I looked up a guide just because I was curious, because I was like, I don't remember exactly where I am, you know, that type of thing. It's been a little while since I played it. And the main story, I'm actually pretty close to the end. I kind of forgot that. And I'm actually doing the Omega DLC right now, and this DLC I've actually only played once before, believe it or not, just because when I was doing my Legendary playthrough back in the day, I was like, well, all I'm gonna do is the minimal amount of work as possible to get, you know, the achievement for beating the story on Legendary. So I didn't do it then, and then in just all my other subsequent playthroughs, I just, for whatever reason, I skipped it. So I'm pretty sure this is only the second time. I mean, it's definitely, if it's not the second time, it's like maybe the third time I've played it. So that's kind of cool because these are just, you know, small side stories. I mean, it was a pretty substantive DLC back in 2013, I think. Maybe 2014. It might have been the last one other than the Citadel. Probably not 2014 because that'd be pretty far after the game came out. But yeah, so it's kind of cool playing through this just because, you know, I'm not as familiar. Like, I'm very, very, very familiar with the main story beats and side missions that are in the base game. So it's kind of cool playing this story. Like I said, I only played it through a couple times. So did that this week, or I got to that this week. I'm pretty far, like I said, in the main story. So I'll probably wrap that up here in the month of November, if I had to guess. And I won't be talking about Mass Effect anymore, at least until I load up my other Mass Effect 1 Legendary Edition save that I've started. But yeah, I mean, really, the time that I do have, like, I haven't played Xbox for a few days just because I was out of town yesterday and then was doing work around the house today. So, but yeah, it's pretty much Forza, which the 10th anniversary stuff is over after this week. But yeah, it's been Forza, Mass Effect 3, and Plague Tale. Those are pretty much what I've been playing. Nothing else really interesting. Although I did download a game off of Game Pass this week that was a new release. I forget what it was called because I didn't play it yet, but it does look kind of cool. Obviously, otherwise I wouldn't have downloaded it.
I'm curious what this is.
I can't remember what it is. I'm looking to see on Xbox Wire to see because it was new this week. Hold on, Xbox Game Pass.
I also played the Forza Horizon 5 anniversary stuff. You're right, we're in the final week.
Yeah.
I got a couple of the cars. I do like that you can get all the cover cars by basically just like collecting some billboards and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't get the Centenario.
What game was it?
I didn't get the Centenario this past week because I like could not find the bonus boards, and I already have a Centenario anyway, so it wasn't even like I was really going to need it. Let's see, November 7th through 11th, maybe.
Yeah, I had the same thing. Right. I ended up with a second Centenario, but I was just kind of looking for extra points so that I could get the weekly festival playlist car.
Yeah, I mean,
also, I had a little PTSD when I got the Forza Horizon 3 menu music and then the Forza Horizon 4 menu music because Forza Horizon 4 in particular, I think that's the one I played the most hours of, and I was so sick of that menu music by the time 5 came out. So when that music came on, I was like, oh my gosh, the throwback. You still haven't figured out what the game is yet?
I'm on Xbox Wire, and I thought I'd be able to find it easily, but it's not very good as far as, like, I just want to see, like...
Just Google October Game Pass releases, because it would have been October, right? Or was it early November? Or I have the Xbox app here on my PC, so I'm just going to open this up.
Okay, here we go. Releases. Xbox Wire, October 18th. Is it on here? Might have been, no.
Gunfire Reborn. Persona 5.
That's not it. Signalis. That's it. Yep.
Wow, I got it on the third try. I'm pretty proud of myself.
Yep, that's the game. I thought it looked cool, so I downloaded it. It's got a 10 out of 10 on Steam.
Oh, this actually does look cool.
Which is,
except for its horror,
which is pretty cool. Yeah, but like kind of horror. It looks like it's a side scroller. It reminded me of Carrion as far as like the art style. So like really, how horrific can it be?
Yeah, it reminds me of that. Or what's the name of the game with the side scroller? Oh, I can't think of it.
No, but yeah, it has really, really high reviews across the board, and it just was added last week. So I was like, oh, this looks kind of neat. So I downloaded it. We'll see if I get to it. But yeah, that's what I guess that's all I played this week. So interesting.
I wonder if Gus is going to, like, Gus is having serious internet connections, he keeps dropping and coming in and out. So I don't know if he'll even make it into this episode at this point because he keeps getting killed.
I mean, I'm here, but it's like every...
Yeah, I know.
It's like every 30 seconds it says internet connection lost.
Who's your service provider? Let's put him on blast.
Xfinity.
Yeah, Comcast.
Well,
of course.
No, we already went through this. My internet has been fine for the longest time, and then I had to downgrade it. We won't get into that.
Yeah, but you downgraded to a speed that like 90% of the people listening probably have worse.
Well,
than that.
You have to think about the fact that like I don't know how many devices are on everybody's network, but and the thing is, I don't know. It's like my roommate's not even here, so it's like I really don't understand why I'm having issues right now. I get it's a Sunday, a fall Sunday, and that people might be streaming things or anything, but. I don't understand what is going on. Just like I said, no. It's like every 30 seconds was an exaggeration. It's like every 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
don't worry. I'm still listening though.
Yeah.
But luckily I don't have anything to add to any of what you guys are saying. I'm pretty much agreeing wholesale with what's going on other than the EA deal for 3 Marvel games. I hate EA. So
well, we haven't even gotten there yet. We were about to go to that when you cut out last time.
Great. Then I'm right on cue. I'm right on cue on my EA bashing. You know.
Yeah. So, story number one of the news section is EA has made a deal with Marvel for 3 single. Well, not they didn't say single player specifically for all 3, but they did say action adventure games, and they confirmed that the first one, which we already know about, which is the Iron Man game, will be single player action adventure third person. So, excuse me. On Twitter, they said, "We're thrilled to announce a multi-title collaboration between Marvel and EA to develop action-adventure games for console and PC. Each game will be its own original story set in the Marvel universe." And then on their financial earnings call, they said that the Star Wars deal with Disney made them confident to do the Marvel deal because they said the Star Wars games have led to people that play Star Wars games, like something like 40% of them, it draws them to other EA products outside of Star Wars. So I guess they see it as a way to cross sell and get people to buy non-Star Wars games in the EA brand, which is funny that they thought of Star Wars like positively because, yeah, I guess Battlefront did well and Fallen Order did well, but not everything they did was super well received, and they were there was a lot of pushback, especially with Battlefront 2. So it's interesting that from their perspective, they're like, oh yeah, this was great for us. Let's do Marvel. I personally am like, oh sure. Fine. Cause I'll judge each game based on the quality of that game. And honestly, how could you do worse than Gotham Knights and Marvel Avengers at this point? Like I'm willing to get more shots on goal just to see if some of these actually end up being good games.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like, I mean, it is what it is. Like, I don't really care. Is you get enough of these chances. It's kind of like the opposite of Bethesda, where it's like you have Elder Scrolls and Fallout, and they've sequestered those just to BGS. When it's like, no, please farm this IP out. I mean, yeah, maybe you want to be a little bit more discerning with who you choose, just because like, those are very iconic franchises and you don't want terrible entries. But in the same breath, it's like, yes, please get other studios on board to make these games. So if I'm a diehard Marvel fan, or if I'm just, you know, a Marvel fan in general, like I like this because like you said, Tim, I mean, yeah, EA's track record in the last 10 years is not great. Star Wars or otherwise, quite frankly. But they still have the money. They still have a lot of the resources. They have a lot of people. I mean, you throw enough at the wall, and some of it's going to stick.
I mean, Fallen Order was great. Like, exactly, if I get one of these as a Fallen Order, then we're good.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, there have been some good games from EA, but a lot of them haven't been good. But that's better than, like, if you're sitting here today, I mean, you have Guardians of the Galaxy, which was good. You had Avengers, which was bad. But then after that, it's like, have there been really AAA Marvel games since the MCU has been the cultural monolith that it is? Not really. So
Spider-Man,
well,
which is exclusive to PlayStation.
Spider-Man and Miles Morales were both good. But like you said, yeah, those are exclusive.
Midnight Suns is
right,
coming.
We don't know anything about that game. I mean, that game could be good. That game could be terrible.
Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of niche, to be honest. And then Wolverine, which is also PlayStation
exclusive. Yeah, but the point remains, like, there haven't been a ton of Marvel games compared to movies. I mean, there have been a million more movies and TV shows than there have been video games. And if you're Marvel, you know, the question is why? You know, video games are just as popular of a media as TV shows and as movies are. So yeah, if you're Marvel, it's like, yeah, we're going to do this deal because we want to have as many shots as we can have. And even if half of them aren't great, I mean, they'll still probably sell well because they're Marvel and the rest of them will be good. So this is fine. I mean, obviously I'm not the biggest Marvel fan and I probably will play half of these games, but you know, I'd still rather see this than them just kind of do what they're doing now, where it's like, okay, we've got rumblings of a possible Iron Man game. You know, we've got rumblings of a Black Panther game / Captain America game. And things like that. But, you know, still by and large, it's like, okay, we're not really getting Marvel video games at a clip that would keep up with the shows and the movies, which is surprising. I mean, it's the same with Star Wars, you know, if we're talking massive entertainment IP. And like I said, a minute or two ago, it's similar to the problems with the Elder Scrolls and Fallout, where it's like, these are sequestered when they should be getting farmed out. And we should be getting more of those games in that IP. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is fine. I mean, it's just a positive update to me as far as Marvel games go.
Yeah, I'd rather, to your point about resources, even though EA has not always done what I've liked, they do have massive resources. And some of the Star Wars games that are currently announced are from small studios or medium-sized studios that it's like, okay, well, what kind of game are you going to get out of that kind of budget and size studio versus EA? It's like nearly limitless resources. It's not really, because they're a publicly traded company. But even if you look at, people have been disappointed, including us, with the output of Star Wars, but I think Battlefront ended up ending in a place that people were pretty satisfied with. Fallen Order was pretty great. What's the game that was fighting, the fighter jet game?
Squadrons. Not
fighter jet, you know what I mean. Squadrons was well received, if kind of a smaller entry. Like, nothing that the EA made for Star Wars was as bad as Gotham Knights, and Gotham Knights was made by an internal WB studio. So my bar is higher than Gotham Knights by a lot, and you don't have to play everything. I don't have to play everything. So if they crap out a game that is terrible, I played Gotham Knights, so I'm probably going to play it, but that doesn't mean everybody has to. I'm choosing to do that because I want to, because I find it interesting, even when it is a train wreck. But that's just because of my love of comic book characters. I don't think all of these games are going to be for me. Like, I've finally decided that Midnight Suns does not look like it's for me. I just don't think the turn-based gameplay, or the way the gameplay is mixed with cards and stuff, is going to be for me. Gus, looks like you have something to add.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, I don't trust EA one singular bit on any of these. And I mean, of course, that's nothing new for me. But I mean, even if they're single player, I don't know. You got to do, and I've talked about this before with superhero games, is you got to do something like Marvel Ultimate Alliance, or you got to do something single player. And there is no in between. Can't do. I mean, like, they tried doing an MMO like RPG with, what was it, like Omega something, and it kind of was like okay, and then it just died. But the only games that have been successful for superheroes have been like bash 'em games or single player games. Like, there are, I can't think of one that is in a different genre that has performed spectacularly well, yeah. Even in
no more live MOBA. Service, no more multiplayer. That's not what we need.
Even in the MOBA environment where DC had one, I mean, it never took off, but it's like, you'd think a DC MOBA game could be pretty good. And yet nobody really played it.
Did we lose Gus again? Are you hearing him? Well, sorry about that.
RIP.
Gus, if you're still talking, we can't hear you. So we're gonna move on to the second story and hope he comes back at some point. I blame Comcast. It was bound to happen. We've been doing this for, what, 2 years of online since the pandemic started, and this is the first time it's really been an issue. So number two, John Wick. Okay, I did not see this one coming, but I guess I should have, and I don't have super high hopes, but basically on the recent Lionsgate earnings call, their CEO said, and I quote, "I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but we believe there is a big AAA game to be made out of John Wick. We have been fielding proposals. We certainly are interested in moving that forward, but I don't want to say anything more about that at this time. End quote. So I love John Wick. They're some of my favorite modern action movies that are not tied into a major franchise. I thought the first one was really refreshing. I think it's more special than most people. People at work make fun of me for it. I don't know if it would translate into a good game. Kind of reminds me of John Woo's Stranglehold.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
But that game was sick. Did you play that game?
Only the demo.
Yeah, no, that game was fun. Just like the bullet time, like slow-mo, like diving through the air and shooting at people. No, that game was dope. But yeah, that was literally the first thing I thought of when I saw this. I was like, oh, this reminds me of John Woo's Stranglehold. But yeah, in the same breath, I kind of agree with you. Like, how do you make a John Wick game? I mean, I know they've made kind of that like isometric style game that you played, Tim, and talked about last year, I think. But
which was cool. But this, they're talking about like a triple A like story game.
Action game. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
which is just going to end up being like it's going to be like a shooter with like what, slow mo or like combat counters. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It just sounds like,
I don't know. I mean, I feel like bland. I feel like a game like Hitman, like the recent Hitman trilogy, combined with better third person shooting mechanics, like better third person action mechanics, you could have the game. Like, that would be the game. Like the stealth and kind of, I don't know, the stealth and the story beats of a Hitman with the high quality feel, but with better shooting mechanics. Because obviously you'd have to have really incredible shooting mechanics, because that's what John Wick is. Like, the game, those movies are about him being an absolute, you know, tornado with handguns and assault rifles.
But I think a big part of it is the stylized nature of the choreography. Yeah. And the movement, and to get that in a game, you'd have to have something like Batman Arkham with like the free flow combat mixed with guns. And that's a big ask.
Right.
I mean, that's a big AAA studio, huge budget ask. And I just don't know that there's going to be the return on the investment for an IP like John Wick for someone to put that kind of money up for that type of game.
Like, yeah. Plus, like,
it would have to be a big endeavor. And I just don't think John Wick sells enough video games to make back the money that would need to be done to make.
Yeah,
it
I was going to say, because like, assuming you do it with Keanu, like, that's an investment too.
Yeah, and maybe he's more willing now because he's done Cyberpunk, yeah, obviously. So, you know, he's more comfortable in the booth and the mocap.
I mean, there's a ton there, you know, like, because when we see him, he's retired. So, like, what was his career before he retired? Like, that's a whole, you can make a ton of games based off of that. And the third one, especially that we see a lot more of his kind of backstory and kind of his connections from before the first two movies, that I feel like you could develop. I mean, I don't know if Lionsgate was planning to do other types of spinoffs to tell those stories, but I think you could probably tell those stories in maybe a video game. But I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd be fine if they didn't do this, honestly. I just think it requires so much money to do it right and so much time, and I don't think you're going to get that out of this IP. And so someone's going to end up doing a half-step measure, and it's not going to turn out great, and I'll be just disappointed. But you did get me a little bit with the, like, seeing him before he retired type thing. Maybe you could make it more of a straightforward game and make it set earlier and do more of a straight shooter with some combat mechanics mixed in, and do maybe like mission planning and planning out your assassinations like Hitman. Maybe there is something there. But like, all the studios that I would want to do it are tied up doing things like obviously Hitman's working on their James Bond game. And so,
yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
Oh, great quote. Yeah. Great quote to pull out right now.
Yeah. John Wick game would be cool. I agree. Before I get like booted again.
Yeah, but you got to keep your answer short in case you
get
booted.
I agree, Tim. I came right back in on the Hitman point, and you are right on with that. That would be very, very cool to have like a, do you think it would be a prequel, or do you think it would be
Spencer's right. It probably works better if you set it during his prime where he's like going out on kills.
That's what I think. And I feel like that would be work very well in like a Hitman style game. So I'm 100% with you on that. I thought that was really cool when I saw that in the show notes that they're doing John Wick.
Yeah, or they're trying to. Not official yet, but it would just make sure you do it right. Just put the budget into it. Nobody likes licensed games now that are pooped out.
Yeah, don't ruin a great character with a crappy game. I almost said a bad word there, but yes, you get my point.
Yeah, Apple's real mean to people that don't check the explicit box when they swear. So be nice to me, Apple. Okay, well, let's move on before Gus gets booted again. Diablo 4 is our third rumor, or third news story, but it's a rumor. Is Diablo 4 is rumored for an April release. This one seems pretty likely because Windows Central is reporting this, but it was also previously reported by, I believe, Tom Henderson leaked some information about a bunch of release dates a few months ago. And so the rumor goes that Diablo 4 is planned for April release and that it will be announced at the Game Awards, which are coming up in 3 or 4 weeks. And that will start their marketing cycle, and their marketing cycle will also coincide with pre-orders opening up. So I think this makes a lot of sense. April seems like a great time to launch a game like Diablo 4. I have no opinions about the Diablo franchise at all. My coworker has back when we first started working together years ago, tried to get me into Diablo 3, and I just never ended up picking it up. So maybe I'll play Diablo 4 if it's on Game Pass because the Activision deal goes through in sometime in the next 6 months. Maybe I'll check it out. Actually, I will. If it's on Game Pass, I'll check it out. But that probably is going to be the only reason I dip my toe into Diablo. It's just not really been for me. But a lot of things that weren't for me in the past, I've figured out were for me once I tried them. So we'll see.
Yeah, Tim,
Gus,
you need to be
Spencer,
the,
either
I,
of you.
I want
anything?
You to be a day one. I want this yeah. And Persona 5. That's all I want you to play for a week.
Hey, I played Persona 5 twice.
That's all I want you to do for a week. Just those two things for 7 days. If you can't do anything else, just play those two games. No other games, no Call of Duty. Although this will be in April, so you probably won't be playing Call of Duty anyway. That's it. I want you to become the biggest Diablo fan this side of Diablo 3. I don't know where to go with that one. But I want you...
Okay.
I want this to be your Elder Scrolls for like it is for me.
I was about to say though, which do you think is more likely, me getting into Elder Scrolls or me getting into Diablo? Because I'm not into either of these at all. In fact, I have no interest in
Elder
either.
Scrolls, because isn't Diablo like isometric? Like, isn't it kind of like a turn-based?
It's kind of isometric. I don't know if you call that isometric. It's like,
but it's like Bird's Eye.
It's kind of like Gears Tactics.
Yeah, so I don't know if like those games? I don't even know if you like those games.
I mean, I like Gears Tactics, and I've liked one or two others like that, but I didn't really like Wasteland 3. Not that it was a bad game. It didn't grab me. I don't play that type of game much.
Yeah, no. So that's why I think, there's a lot of games that you'd think I'd be interested in, like Divinity or Diablo, honestly, but I just, whenever I see that they're that kind of camera, that camera angle and that gameplay style, it's like, oh man, I don't know.
Everything can't be for everyone or nobody would have any free time. That's what I say. So,
yeah,
I will play an hour or two of it just so, cause I'm always curious of what like big titles like this are like, but that's about all they're going to get out of me unless I get hooked. The other one that's really out of my wheelhouse that I'm going to play is Pentiment, which is coming up in a week or two. Totally outside my realm because it's like side-scrolling period piece almost. But it's not even a side-scroller.
It's kind of a side-scroller.
It's not a side-scroller like you think it is, though.
Like it's a unique type of side-scroller. I don't know what to expect of this game. I mean, I have decent expectations because it's Obsidian and like people are... I mean, and it's kind of a lower... key game anyway, so it doesn't have high expectations, so that kind of helps. But it's coming out with such little competition right now that it's kind of like, well, don't have to do much to be successful this fall. So
yeah, I was watching I follow a couple industry analysts on Twitter, and one of them was pointing out that a lot of games this year sold a lot more copies than they would have in any other year. Like bad games are selling way better than they would in a competitive year just because they're alone on the shelves. Like Gotham Knights probably would have sold with the, you know, the Bat family name on it, but it's selling way better when it's not sitting alongside Battlefield and, you know, another RPG from Bethesda and another thing from EA. And, you know, like we normally are crammed full of games in October. And this year there were like a handful of AAA games, and some of them were PlayStation or Nintendo exclusive. So they didn't even compete on Xbox platforms. So, it's a good year to release a smaller or not great game because your sales are bumped up just by the fact that there's fewer games.
Speaking of,
so these next two. Yeah.
I was going to say, speaking of not great games, this segues into number four perfectly. Oof.
That's rude. Oof. I don't agree with you there. But number four, let's talk about the Halo Winter Update. It is coming the day after this podcast goes live. We've talked in detail about all the stuff coming in the Winter Update, like the network co-op, mission replay, Forge beta. Something that wasn't super clear until recently is we knew they were doing match XP, where you could get XP for just playing multiplayer and you get more XP for performing better or being MVP, stuff like that. So like the traditional XP system of a lot of other multiplayer games. But they recently gave details on how they're overhauling the challenges, which were the previous only way to level up. And they basically have three bullet points, and I'm going to read them all, but I love these changes. So the first one is they're reducing the number of challenges required to hit the ultimate challenge from 20 to 10. So this is how to get the like weekly reward. They always have like one cosmetic item you can get at the end of the week, but you have to complete a certain number of challenges. They're lowering it from 20 to 10. So it'll be easier to get. The second one is all challenges in the regular weekly challenge deck will now be completed in any playlist. So this is my number one complaint is you'll get a challenge and it'll be like, do 15 headshots in free-for-all, I don't know, team flag or something. It just something like that makes no sense, free-for-all team. But you know what I'm saying. It'll be a specific playlist and a specific challenge. And so you're like, I don't want to play that playlist. I want to play Slayer, and you're making me go play Capture the Flag. And not only that, there isn't a Capture the Flag playlist, or, you know, it's just annoying. So now you can just play and do any challenge in any playlist. And then the third thing is challenges in general are going to be, well, more general. So this goes into the challenges working in any playlist. You'll no longer have things that are like super hyper specific. This is not a challenge, but think of like something insane, like trying to, I don't know, get grenade kills or something. I think it's going to be more generic, or that maybe that is the generic version. And before it was like get pulse grenade kills, or sticky grenade kills or something. Gus just got booted again. And he's back. What a day. So I'm probably the only one of us that's going to really jump back into Halo Infinite in any force, is what I'm gathering from you guys.
Yeah, I don't even think I have it installed still on my Xbox. I don't think that's true, actually. I'm just saying that. But I definitely haven't touched it since like December.
I've played it fairly recently, but it's definitely been a few weeks.
Maybe January.
Spencer, are you planning on jumping back in, even for the co-op or the mission replay?
So I also have it uninstalled right now, just because I was like, you know what? I haven't played this in a long time, so I'm going to uninstall it. Not that I necessarily needed to. The mission replay, like you even mentioned, you mentioned this week, that does intrigue me, because obviously, like you, we all missed some skulls or random things playing through the missions the first time, especially those early missions, when it's more, when the game is more traditional and linear, the first like kind of hour or two of the story. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm tempted to just to try to play some of those missions again. But I don't know.
It's going to be a game time decision.
Well, I mean, there's no skin off my back to just reinstall it and see what I'm thinking at that point. But I don't really necessarily feel compelled to do it, just because it wasn't incredible. And I don't have the nostalgia factor like I would with the older games. Like I uninstalled Master Chief Collection too, just because I was like, I literally haven't touched this in
yeah,
years.
I think I talked about it on the show. I uninstalled that 6 months ago, and it was the first time I had uninstalled it since release, which is insane.
Yeah, no, it's same. I uninstalled Halo Infinite and the Master Chief Collection. Well, I uninstalled both of those at the same time. earlier this year, and that's the first time Master Chief Collection has ever been uninstalled. So in the eight-ish years it's been out.
As we record this, I believe today is the 10th anniversary of Halo 4.
Yeah.
It was either today or yesterday. I think it's today.
That sounds right. November. I know it was November of 2012, so it's about this time. Yeah.
I like Halo 4. I know I'm in the minority there, but I liked it better than 5. So there, come at me.
That's a rough take.
Okay, number 5. Wishlist notifications are coming, it seems like, which they kind of exist now, but basically they're going to be doing some improvements. They're testing them now with the preview ring. Basically, with a select number of users in certain preview rings right now, you're not guaranteed it if you're in these preview rings. They are only doing select users, so they can do an A-B test. The new notifications is you'll have a setting for store notifications within your notification settings for your Xbox to where you can get pop-up, what do they call them, Jewel? No, that's the controller button. Toast. They're called toasts. The pop-up when you get an achievement is called a toast, if you didn't know that. They're going to add notifications for store-based notifications to the toast options, and that'll allow you to get notifications when something goes on sale from your wish list. What I'm curious about is how does this work? Because if my console's off when that thing goes on sale, does it then give me the notification when I turn on my console? Because almost all of the other notifications that you can get on your console are as they happen, right? Like a friend signs online, I get a notification. Somebody sends me a message, I get a notification. But if your console isn't on when that notification happens, it just goes into that menu kind of buried. It doesn't like pop up and tell you. Now it does tell me on my phone, which maybe they'll also add it to the app, but I don't know. There's a lot of nuance to this, but I think in general, they do need to improve how they like inform you of things like lists going on sale or pre-order items being available for pre-order that you wishlisted or things like
that. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like there needs to be better integration between the store and the app on your phone, just because like I get all the notifications on my phone, obviously, of achievements of, you know, when I've taken a screenshot or a video clip or when select friends come online, I get all those, you know, consistently, accurately when they happen. Like sometimes, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but sometimes I won't get the achievement pop up on my Xbox, but then I'll look at my phone and it'll be like, oh, achievement unlocked. I'm like, okay, that's weird.
In my house, I hear it go off 3 times because my PC, my phone, and my Xbox are in the same room. So it'll go ping, ping, ping. Guess which one goes first,
your
by
phone.
The way? PC, every time.
Interesting.
It's
my phone's always before the Xbox, that's for sure.
Yeah, it usually goes PC, phone, then Xbox.
Yeah, so I mean, that would be cool because I have a few things, Saints Row most notably, on my Xbox wishlist that like, if I picked up my phone tomorrow and it randomly had a little banner notification that said, on your wishlist, Saints Row is on sale, you know, 30% off, whatever, or, you know, $29.99, whatever, that would be cool. Like that would be, that is a perfect way for them to get me to spend money faster. You know, like if I see on my phone the middle of the day when I'm at work or I'm, you know, doing whatever, I see, oh, this game is on sale now, I'll buy it right now, have it installed so I can play it when I can get home, rather than, oh, I know it's November, it's almost Christmas time, there's probably a sale, let me go look. And then, oh, there isn't actually a sale, I need to remember to check later this week, maybe that's when the sale goes live, or I need to Google Xbox Wire, you know, Black Friday sale, like that type of a thing. First of all, less likely I'm going to spend money because I'll forget that the sale isn't happening or, you know, whatever. And second of all, it's more hoops I have to jump through to spend the money. Whereas if I just pop up on my phone, then boom, right there, one step, which I mean,
I think it's more likely to be email, though.
Well, that's fine.
The phone, the reason.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, the reason you can't buy it in the app is because they don't want to pay the 30% to Apple and Google. But Steam has wishlist sale notifications for email. And I think PlayStation does.
Wait.
Because I think I have a few things wishlisted on PlayStation. And I'm pretty sure they email me when it goes on
sale.
That's why
there isn't store functionality on the Xbox app, because they would have to pay Apple or Samsung or Google, whatever.
Yeah, I think they have to pay them 30%, and that's why they took it out of the
But the game isn't even on their platform. Like, you're buying a product that isn't even on their platform. That doesn't make sense, because if I buy something on the Amazon app, Amazon's not giving Apple 30%. There's no way. Like, if it was a game, if it was an actual game, like, you're if right. I was playing that Marvel game and there was, I was a microtransaction and that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
sure,
obviously,
okay,
they
whatever.
Get 30% of that.
But yeah, no, that can't be it. It must just be that it's too difficult or whatever for them to integrate it.
Well, then that, if that's not the reason, and maybe I'm completely wrong, that was an assumption on my part, then the fact that they took the store away from the mobile app infuriates me.
Stupid.
Because and you know what's even worse is a long time ago in the PS4 era, okay, that's not that long ago, but within the last 10 years, PlayStation app, when you would click store, it would open in a browser in the PlayStation app to go to the store. And they updated the app after 4 or 5 years and put the store back into the PlayStation mm-hmm. app. It now has a store button. Xbox doesn't even have a button to open a new window in the browser, let alone a browser in the app. You have to go out, go to the browser yourself, go to the store. I have wishlist.microsoft.com or whatever the URL is just bookmarked. And whenever I want to either check my wishlist or to go to the store, I just click on that link. And I go to my wish list, and then I click the search bar at the top to search for a game. Also, the search for Xbox.com and on console is trash. They've slowly improved it. PlayStation's is worse, but finding what you want is also
You know what is trash? When you Google, and part of this is just me being lazy, but like when you Google Xbox.com redeem a code, the first handful of results on Google are like the frequently asked questions page is telling you, oh, you're on your Xbox? Push this button, go to the store and go through. Oh, you're on Xbox 360? Oh, you're on PC? Oh, you're on your mobile device? No. I'm typing this into my laptop. I want to go to xbox.com/redeem, which isn't that. It's not that.
No, they changed it. It's redeem.microsoft.com.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Now.
Like, every time I have a code to redeem for whatever reason, I'm literally just like xbox.com redeem a code. Like, that's boom, get me there. And no, it's not. It takes me to the frequently asked questions page. It takes me to the, oh, you're on your Xbox 360 and you want to redeem a code and it's 2022. This is what you need to do. And I'm like, no.
So I solved that problem like, I don't know, 4 years ago. The redeem code page, I bookmarked it because I do it so much that now it just autofills on my computer and my phone. Because, I mean, I just redeem codes like constantly.
Yeah.
Whether it's a gift card or a code I got from a publisher.
The freaking money laundering scheme at your work that translates to you getting Xbox gift cards.
It's not just my work, though. I'm also in the Microsoft Xbox Rewards program that gets free gift cards. Then I also occasionally I buy them from Newegg on sale. You know, there's lots of ways to get your games cheaper if you work the system. The Xbox Rewards program is actually pretty great. You get like buffs for like buying stuff, you get buffs for achievements. Like, there's all kinds of little challenges you can do to get free points. It doesn't net you like a ton of gift cards, but like I think I've got enough to buy a game that I haven't redeemed recently. So, and I don't know, every few years you probably get a free game. Okay, where were we? That's probably enough on wishlist notifications. I hope they get that sorted out. There is room to improve there for sure. Number six, final big story of the week is Game Pass for the first half of November. Legend of Tian Ding is available now. Ghost Song available now. Coming November 8th is Return to Monkey Island. I bet a lot of people will be excited for that one. That was a big return for the Monkey Island franchise. Different art style, though. I know people are kind of upset about that. Football Manager 23, November 8th. Vampire Survivors, November 10th. Indie Darling, Pentiment, there it is, November 15th, Somerville, November 15th, Gungrave Gore, G-O-R-E, it's an acronym, November 22nd, and then leaving November 8th is Football Manager 2022, because 2023 is being added, and then leaving November 15th is Art of the Rally, Fey Tactics, Next Space Rebel, One Step from Eden, Supraland, and Subnautica. So I haven't heard of half of those games that are leaving. That's good.
We talked about Gungrave Gore. Remember, it's the South Korean game. And I still don't know what Gore stands for.
Did we ever look it up?
Website.
Gungrave Gore stand for. I'm looking it up. We looked it up before.
I literally just typed it in Gungrave Gore, and you know how Chrome does that resume your journey thing. So I've literally Googled this before. I still don't know what it stands for.
I'm not finding it either.
It's an acronym.
Maybe I don't know. If you know what Gore stands for in Gungrave Gore, at me on Twitter, at Tim Shelton, tell me. And I'll retweet you.
I don't know. The other thing I wanted to say was Art of Rally is a game that's been on my play later for probably 2 years, but I never got around to it. Sad times. It's all right, though.
It looks cool.
Oh, here you go. I don't know. It's Gunslinger of Resurrection, with the R-E in Resurrection being the R-E in Gore. So there you go.
When people get too cute with their names, it just infuriates me.
Gungrave.
The R-E
Gunslinger.
Resurrection. Why is it R.E if the R and E stand for the same word? That makes no sense.
That's a good... Yeah, you're right. It should be G.O.R.E. Yeah.
Which would be, you know, even there's, more
maybe,
ridiculous.
Maybe in Korean it makes more sense than it does in English. Maybe the translation from Korean to English ruins the acronym. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure that's...
I'll give
them
the benefit of the doubt.
They wouldn't
and
have
that's what I'll say it is. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there are worse names. Gungrave Gore at least sounds cool, but that's because you think of gore, like goriness, like messiness in a horror movie, not G-O-R-E. But I have Pentiment pre-installed and Return to Monkey Island. Those are probably the two highlights from this batch. Okay, I got three quick hits. I'm going to go through them quick. Number one, Square Enix sold off their three studios to Embracer Group in August. They've already shut one of them down. So what is formerly, what was the name of it? Square Enix Montreal was bought by Embracer in August and renamed Anima, whatever it is, in October. So they just announced their new name last month, and now they're being shut down in November. 200 employees will be affected. Some of them will move to Eidos Montreal, and some of them probably, unfortunately, will lose their jobs, although they're trying to find places for everyone. These are the people that made Hitman Go, Lara Croft Go, and Deus Ex Go. So, I mean, it's a mobile studio. Embracer does own other mobile studios, or mostly mobile, but hopefully all those people, or at least most of those people, can find homes in other places in Embracer, since they're such a large company. Number two, Modern Warfare 2 Double XP. There was like a situation where the Vault Edition people thought was supposed to come with 10 hours of Double XP. Well, it turned out that that was actually a promo only for people that bought the Vault Edition through the storefront in the previous three Call of Duty games, which is like the tiniest of asterisks. That's such a weird thing to pigeonhole. And because of the confusion, they're just making the 10 hours of Double XP available to anyone that owns the Vault Edition. So good on Activision for making that that miscommunication/confusion right. And then third, Xbox Cloud is getting an update for those running it in browsers on Linux and Chrome OS. So this works for Steam Deck. And the reason I threw this in the news is because this affects me, because when I travel, I use Xbox Cloud on my Chromebook. So yay, I guess I'm going to get benefits. And it says higher resolution and smoother streaming experience. So hopefully that means it's better than 720p. I think that's what it was before. So maybe now it's a full 1080p. And that is probably the quickest. That's the lightest, like most non-Xbox news the quick hits has ever been. We had a mobile studio closure, a cloud gaming update, and a Double XP story. So the quick hits.
Well, Square Enix Montreal, I feel like, what did they make? Did they make anything?
Aren't they the ones that previously, well, obviously they did, weren't they the ones that made the third Tomb Raider game? And then they also are rumored to now be a support studio on Fable, or at least working on the Fable franchise.
No, they just made the mobile games. You're right. Hitman Go, Hitman Sniper.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Eidos Montreal.
Well, did they
close
Eidos
Montreal? I heard
the
wrong name. No, that's where they're folding the Square Enix Montreal people into.
Eidos Montreal and Crystal Dynamics are still going. Yeah.
Yeah, and the rumor is Eidos Montreal is the one supporting Fable, and Crystal Dynamics is supporting Perfect Dark.
just also raises the further the specter of why didn't Microsoft just acquire these, considering the price was literally pennies on the dollar.
We know why. I mean, it's super obvious. They knew they were going to be under all this scrutiny for Activision.
Well, I know that. I guess
regulatory.
I guess it's
they couldn't.
Hindsight is 2020 and rose colored glasses and whatever other metaphor thing you want to say. But I can't believe that they like it. It would have made so much more sense for them to do this, acquire the Square Enix North American studios and talent than it would have getting Activision Blizzard, just for so many reasons.
Yeah, except for the, I guess, big thing from Activision Blizzard they actually won is their mobile chops from both King and Diablo Immortal and others. So they're basically just getting Call of Duty as a on the side, and they really just want the mobile growth. So that's interesting. But like half of Activision's revenue is mobile games. So like that helps Xbox.
Yeah, I just wish that
emerging and Eastern markets.
I just feel like that with all of the first person weaponry that Microsoft has now, I feel like even like they didn't need to do the Activision Blizzard acquisition because you have it. I mean, yeah, 343 kind of sucks, but you have them still. Like they at least make decent products, maybe not as good as Call of Duty. You have id, you have Machine Games. I don't know. You don't really need Infinity Ward, Treyarch, and Sledgehammer, but whatever. It doesn't really matter at this point since the.
Okay, I have one final thing to tack on here at the end that is not totally Xbox related, but when our show first started, it feels like we were talking early on about the Witcher TV show when it was first being cast and produced. And now, I think since last episode, we had the announcement that Henry Cavill is leaving after the third season to be replaced by one of the Hemsworth brothers, Liam Hemsworth. So not the one on Westworld and not the one that plays Thor, the other Hemsworth. Also, Westworld got canceled this week. Real sad about that. But anyway, I just wanted to get your guys's quick take on this news. The rumor is, and this is a strong rumor, that Henry Cavill was displeased with their departure from the source material.
Yeah.
And that behind the scenes, he was pushing to be accurate to the lore and the source material, and the producers and the writers of the show were wanting to make more deviations than he was comfortable with. So he decided to part ways. And to be honest, Henry Cavill just has a lot more options these days. Yeah. Like
I don't know though. I just feel like the biggest disappointment is this always seemed like his dream role. And he loved it. And he dude was known for quoting the book on set, just straight up. He was perfect in the role. I think it's a huge disappointment. Anytime there's a recasting, it's a disappointment usually. I can't really think of situations where recasting was better, you know, with the second actor. So just that.
Don Cheadle.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's fair. But still, it's few and far between. Marty McFly's girlfriend going to the second Back to the Future. Big, huge disappointment after the first one.
Agreed.
That's my favorite one to bring up.
Facts, Spencer. Spitting facts.
Back to the Future is my favorite movie, and I still find it like just jarring when that happens.
Yeah, it's really disappointing. Like I wish that he would be able to stay, and they'd somehow figure out a way to either change the writers or work something out together. I don't know. It is really disappointing. I can already tell you that I'm not going to be interested in season four. It's just weird.
I'm going to be deathly curious. How are they going to make Liam Hemsworth as small as he is?
Sure. From that perspective,
make you believe
he's a Hemsworth brother. Yeah. What are you talking about?
He's the smallest Hemsworth.
From the perspective of
Tim, you ever heard of
the perspective of man? I can't wait to see how they mess this up. So I'm going to watch. Sure.
No, I think Liam's a capable actor. I think he's gonna be able to act it, but he doesn't at all look like Henry Cavill, and he's not gonna get as buff as Henry Cavill is.
Yeah, wasn't he the guy in?
There's this thing called Personal Meal Plan. Him? And like steroids. 5 years ago? He was in. Like
The Loving. No, not Divergent. Sorry.
Hunger Games.
He's like the original
Spencer's
boyfriend.
Spencer's like acting like he can't hear us.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm lagging too.
I think all of our internets must not be working. Maybe China's finally attacking and the EMP's going off.
I don't know. It's getting throttled right now.
I'm just really disappointed. I mean, I've already been really down on this show the first two seasons just because of the creative choices. Watching season three with that in the back of my mind is going to be annoying, and it's very disappointing because like this would be like, I don't know. I can't even think of an example. Like this, he begged for this show and this role.
It's a very unique situation.
It's unique too, because he's so perfect for both Superman and the way he's pulled off Geralt. Like I can't think of another character. Like obviously like Harrison Ford is Han Solo, but like that's because he made the character. Like it's not like we had a preconceived notion of what Han Solo should look like, and Harrison Ford fit the bill perfectly. Like we know what Geralt looks like and acts like, we know what Superman acts like and looks like, and he fits those perfectly, and there's no way it's going to be as good. There just isn't. It's very disappointing, and Netflix is foolish for letting this happen. Very foolish.
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to watch it because I'm really curious how they address and how much of a departure it'll be, how similar he'll look. Like, are they going to do a beard now? Because Liam Hemsworth has a beard. Are they going to dye it white so he looks more like Witcher 3 Geralt in the games instead of Henry Cavill's clean-shaven Geralt in the show?
Yeah, well, if they wanted to change from the source material, he hates beards in the source material. Like, that's like the whole thing. So... Gus wanted us to point out, because his internet is still broken, that steroids, meal plans, and personal trainers in Hollywood exist. So Liam Hemsworth could get jacked.
But
and that's true.
I mean, he could, but I don't know. I just don't.
He
I
could
don't
talk to his
Liam
brother.
Hemsworth
if,
is
if you think,
Thor,
like, if you
hey,
think
Thor,
that if
I
you think
big?
That Chris Hemsworth is completely natty, like 100% natty, like
I mean
wrong.
At least
no. What.
Like Chris Hemsworth 100% has
done
steroids.
I don't know.
Steroids.
I mean, it's better.
Like, and he, I know he
why,
has that.
Why are we
center,
throwing around steroids
it's
right
better
now?
No,
because that's how people
if,
get
like,
jacked
cast, like,
in
Toby
Hollywood
Maguire.
For movies.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Andrew,
that's true.
Andrew Garfield.
People literally take steroids in Hollywood to get big for roles.
Well, a lot of times they do that more for movies than for shows.
That's
it's,
well, I mean, I if you with your worry that Liam won't be able to get as big. Like I said, Chris Hemsworth, I know he owns like that center, like fitness app or whatever, but you're going to tell, I mean, people don't understand it's false advertising because you're not getting Chris Hemsworth cut without taking a needle in your butt. I can promise you, you're not.
Gus, I don't even know what to do with you right now.
This is speaking from someone who has gone to the gym like fairly regularly for a while now. And I'm going to tell you right now, you simply don't get like to look like that. Unless you have freak genetics, which he is a Hemsworth, and having or steroid usage, it simply just doesn't happen. Like people like to think that it can, but it doesn't. And so I feel like Liam Hemsworth could easily get into the bigness of the role that you are so worried about.
Well, it's not just that. Like I'm talking in general. Like the physicality is part of it, but like also the voice, the way he carries himself, the way he talks, like. I'm just curious to see how that gets adapted and how much he tries
to
stick.
Did you see Liam's Instagram post?
Set forth.
Did you see Liam's Instagram post?
Gus, we're having a hard time breaking you out here, so I can't hear anything you're saying anymore. I'm sorry for everyone listening. Comcast has not been our friend on this episode. So I'm going to go ahead and end it there. Sorry about Gus there at the end. Gus is right, though. Liam could gain the weight and get buff. I don't know. Is he shorter than Henry? I don't even know if their heights are different. He seems like he's pretty tall because the short Hemsworth is the third or the older brother, right? But I don't know. It just seems like such a weird thing. And also, it was so premeditated. They had Liam Hemsworth like ready to go. And even Henry like handed it off to him in such a kind way for a departure that was probably maybe not ideal behind the scenes, or at least he was not leaving. He was leaving because he felt like he had to, because he couldn't make the show he wanted to make. If the rumors are true, he seems to have left very amicably and with dignity. So I appreciate that, at least not all this stuff. Anyway, let's end there. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter and explain to me your take on Gungrave Gore at Tim Shelton.
And I'm Spencer Rain. I think you can hear me right now, but I don't know. And my Twitter handle is at Makes It Rain.
And you can make fun of Gus on at Multiform Pod about his Comcast internet. See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at MultiformPod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.